Well, let me, it's going to be a self-examination lesson. And it's going to be simple. You probably figured out that's the only kind I know. But I want you to think down and think back of your life. Think 5, 10, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, before you were a Christian, whatever. And think of the things that you said that you wish you had never done. That you don't like to talk about and you don't even like to think about. Unfortunately, we have some of those things. And we've kind of taken them and put them far back and piled them somewhere and we just try to forget about those things. And we just took note of it and we just say, well, I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that and I'm not going to do this anymore. And we just put that list somewhere and then all of a sudden when we check that list once in a while, yeah, I'm not doing those things and that's good, so I'm doing all right. Which is a good thing. But that's not the lesson that we need to learn, or that's not the thing that we need to get from our past experiences. Those who forget the past are destined to repeat it. We've all heard that. But what that doesn't mean is that it's the list that we look at. We need to make a list. Because we need to go back and understand further, why is it that I made that decision that brought me to do that? How did I get involved in that situation? How did I get involved with that type of person? How did I get involved in that type of thinking? How did I get involved in that type of activity? And answer the question. And that is the assurance that you will have once you answered that question, that you will not repeat that sin. And I want us to understand that if we can take a minute, I didn't say 15 minutes, I said a minute, and look at this and say, well, why is it that I got that? And sometimes we fail to see that, and then all of a sudden we realize, how did I get involved in that again? How come I did that again? Where did that come from? There's two different reasonings that I have come to understand that for me that I get involved in things that I shouldn't get involved, or I got involved in things I shouldn't get involved. You either reason, you have to reason with yourself how you get to do something. You reason either from faith, and it causes you to make a decision based on that information. Or you reason based on consequence. And what that means is that you're going to evaluate the facts, and you're going to evaluate if I do it this way, I will have to deal with that. And you're trying to avoid the consequence of dealing with that. So you're just going to do that, and you have to avoid all the evidence. So let me just see if I can explain an illustration. We talked yesterday about the situation in Kadesh Barnea. That lesson is a good lesson for me. It's taught me so many things. It was concluded that God has brought them out of Egypt all this way only for them to die in the wilderness, and they chose to return to Egypt. That was their conclusion at Kadesh Barnea upon the return of the 12 spies. Upon all the things, their conclusion was that they were going to go back to Egypt because this is what we have here. Whatever reasoning they had, they came up to the conclusion that we're not going to go in the Promised Land. We're going back to Egypt. Did they just cause to believe that God had brought them so far only to have them die in the wilderness? What is it that caused them to believe that? Well, if you consider the evidence, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. The Lord Himself said to Moses, I have heard their cry. I have seen their sorrows. That the Lord said that. Here's a list of wonders and signs that they have seen in the last little while. At the time they made that decision, this is what they had witnessed. 10 plagues. The parting of the Red Sea. The destruction of their enemy. Not only were they saved against their enemy, but the enemy was destroyed, never having to look back. The bitter water turned sweet. The manna coming from nowhere. Water from the rock. Water from the rock. events at Mount Sinai, the angel sent before by God before them. I mean, there's more, the quail, we can add to them. And finally, the response from the report of the 12 spies. They all said, the land is indeed a land flowing with milk and honey, testifying of God's promise. Everything that God has said, He has kept. 12 spies come back. 12 spies seen the same thing. 10 of them say, we can't go in. 2 of them says, we can go in. We're going to eat these guys up. The other says, we're not going to eat those guys up. They're giants. We can't make them. We can't go in there. The whole congregation concluded from that it was better in Egypt. It was better in Egypt. The giants and the grasshoppers is all we can see right now, and we're not able to take them. So upon this statement, they concluded that God has brought them all this way, only to die in the wilderness. This is the conclusion that they had to make in their minds. They believed it rather than believing God. From that conclusion, they set out to return to Egypt, the very place where the hearts were filled with sorrow, and from where they cried out to the Lord for deliverance. That became better than what God was offering them. Now let me ask you the question. Is that reasoning from faith? Or is that reasoning from consequence? How does this happen? How does that happen that we come to these conclusions? Because basically what happens is our reasoning fails. Well, let's consider. Maybe they didn't have enough evidence. That's hardly the fact. Maybe God was not clear enough. Perhaps the circumstances were too difficult. That can be. When the circumstances are too hard, we just don't have to be faithful. After all, they had a change in occupation. They were used to being slaves. It's not easy when you change your job. Always have to complain to get what you need is a terrible task. Never having the peace of mind that all will be okay. You know how heavy that is to carry? Surely God should have understood. And what will happen to our children? Reasoning from faith or reasoning from consequence? Well, I just want to make a note that's pretty interesting to me. You know, all the things they have seen and heard from God, directly from God, were the very things that the prophets took with them to the people that were falling away to draw them back to God. And they were not saying, do you remember you've lived that? They were saying, have you not read of those things? That means that God was expecting them to believe a whole lot more than someone who's just reading about it. And that alone would have converted them. Did they have enough evidence? Absolutely. Were the conditions favorable for them to believe and being able to rationalize with themselves properly? Absolutely. But they chose not to do that. So what is it that affected their reasoning? Turn with me in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 16. Now the Hebrew writer is referring to this very event. It says in verse 16, beginning of Hebrews 3, for who, having heard, now who is the who? It's the Israelites. For who, having heard, rebelled. Now, that word rebelled, as far as I understand it means, is that it means embittered. That means that they had enough. They have had enough. Like, God, you've pushed us to our limit. Like you're asking, this is ridiculous. That's what it means. You have been embittered. They've rebelled. Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Was it reasoning from faith? Or was it reasoning from consequence? Every time we reason from consequence is a result of unbelief. Every time. And when we don't believe God, we get upset with Him. And what happens is not Him that He decides that I'm going to make them bitter. Is that's the way it's determined. The Word of God will work either two ways. It will soften your heart, or it will harden your heart. And they were embittered to the point where that's it. We're tired of not being sure of having enough food. Why is it that I can't have food for the next 10 years? No, you make me do it every day. They were missing the whole thing. They were missing the whole thing. Because they didn't believe, they missed the lesson and missed the blessing. Let me repeat that. Because they didn't believe, they missed the lesson and they missed the blessing. Moses uses this example to warn those who would later enter the land. He says, "So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." They were willing to go along with God as long as they had bread. That's not the lesson. Israel complained because no bread to eat. No bread, we die. We need bread. God says, "You don't need bread. You need me. Here's manna." Never seen that before. Israel complained there was no water. No water, we die. That's the conclusion. That's the rationale. God gave them water from a rock. Israel complained the water was bitter. Bitter water, no good, we die. God says God makes water sweet with a tree. The point was, believe what I'm telling you. Don't worry about what you think you need. Just have confidence in what I tell you, that I will be with you. And I will give you all that is. As long as their purpose in following God is something other than reverence and appreciation, they will always keep Egypt as an alternative. And boy, we have to learn that lesson. Sooner or later, the wrong choice is made. I read about a Spanish conqueror. You might know this. His name was Hernando Cortez. I'm not saying that he was a good man. I'm just going to point out a point that he made. He was a pretty smart guy, and as far as know how to handle the situation and get his job done. He had a bunch of boats, and he was going to make the empire bigger and get some more land. So he would bring the boats to the shore of the land that he wanted to conquer, and he'd park the boats. And he'd tell everybody, "Unload the boats." So they'd unload the boats. All of it. All of it? All of it. Everything on the shore. So they took everything off the boats, took it all to the shore. He said, "Okay, now set the fire to the boats." Set the fire to the boats? How are we going to get out of here? Set the fire to the boats. They haven't even met their enemy yet. They haven't even seen what they have. But he was in there. He was going to get that land. And they set the fire to the boats. Now you think about that. You're one of the guys that helped this guy up. You got no boat. You're going to listen to what he's going to say. He says, "Get him." You're going to get them? Yeah, you're going to get them. Because if you don't get them, they'll get you. You see the point? As long as we have Egypt, as long as we keep our boat at bay, we're never going to get into that land. It's not going to happen by accident. And you're not going to go, "Whew, I thought I wasn't going to make it." It's not going to be like that. And we need to burn the boats. We need to burn the boats. God has much more in mind for man than food. Much more, much more, much more. You know, the problem with our picture of God is that we think God is just a good idea. Sometimes He's a good alternative. It's like an insurance policy in case something goes wrong. We have God on our side. Or a medicine cabinet, or a medicine. But God says, "No, no, no. I am God. I created you so that I can have a relationship with you. And I have created you." Well, how can it be possible then that man be right and God wrong? We sometimes ask ourselves, we don't ask ourselves that question. When we say we've had enough with God, or when we say, well, I can't live without this, I need to go there, I need to have that. You're asking too much, God. Is we're saying, well, maybe you've made a mistake here, God. That means God is wrong and we're right. And we can't say that. Nobody would ever even dare to say, yeah, that's right. But that's what happens when we sin. When we sin, we choose something that God doesn't like and doesn't want us to do, and we do that. That means we think that's good and that's bad. Or we think it's wrong, he's wrong, and we're right. And the sad point of it is that we don't love God. When we sin, we love sin. I hate to think about that. I don't like that thought. But I have to accept it because that's what happens. And until we get sick to our stomach of that, we will keep the boats at bay. By insisting on not believing God, not only did they miss the blessing, but consequences followed. When it comes to God, there is no, well, we'll give it a shot and see how it goes. If I don't like it, I'll just drop it. When there is a covenant between man and God, it is to be regarded as a privilege, not a jail term. The latter indicates where the heart is. Many efforts are made by God to soften the heart, but resistance persists. Consequences will be inescapable. In every case, God will be glorified, whether we believe it or not. And let's be on his good side. Notice how that when consequence came, that it was too late for them to reason. And look at Hebrews chapter 4. We're just dropped down to where you are. And verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do not enter that rest. I do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. They missed it. We can't play with God and think we're going to get away with it. And he's going to decide, well, okay. See, we can't do that. God is God. And we need to look at him as God. And we need to stop dressing him up like we think he should be dressed up as. And we need to let him tell us what he is. And it's a much better picture than we can ever come up with. And it'll be a lot more profitable for us. I want you to look at something with me. You're in Hebrews chapter 3. Let's see, there's a point here that I want us to stress. Look at chapter 3 of Hebrews in verse 7. And you see right after there it says, today if you will hear his voice. If you go to verse 15, it says, today if you will hear his voice. And look at verse chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, today if you will hear his voice. Are you sensing a pattern, a message that's being told here? It's today that we have to hear his voice. If we're going to be burning boats, it's today that it has to happen, not tomorrow. Because there's two things that happens when you don't do it today. The effect that you have when you read the word today, which should have it to you, is stirring your will, which is the power of the gospel working on you. God is telling you something. The longer you wait, the less that has impact on you, and the more you're rebelling against God. We need to be so careful of that. Sometimes there's something in our lives that we know we need to deal with. I'll get around to it. That's not a good practice. Because we're just keeping the boat at bay. Whatever it is, sometimes it's our speech, sometimes it's our actions, sometimes it's just not being the father we need to be, or the mother we ought to be, or the child we ought to be, or the teacher, or the worker, or the prayer person that we need to be. Or we need to be able to give. And to be more hospitable. Yeah, okay, well, I'm going to get this done and then I'll get this done. We need to learn to go over the things, the hurdles. And if the mountain looks too high, Do like Cortez does. Burn the boat. You'll have nowhere to go. And don't try swimming, because you'll drown. And we need to do that. You know, we talk about Christians, and there are others that some of you may have heard the gospel many times. Praise God for that. But hearing it more times will not change anything. Because after you heard it, it's now your responsibility to respond to it. If you think about the last 15 and 20 and 30 years, do you see something there that you can learn from? Do you see something that you have learned from the decisions that you've made? Do you see some of the decisions were the hardest ones? I remember when I became a Christian. I was shaking. I was actually shaking. Because I had to face my mother. You don't know my mother. I love her. But she did not want me to do this. I was in a Catholic residence with a Jesuit priest up on the hill, and I was headed that way. This was not the right way for her. And the only way that I was able to get baptized on that Wednesday night was, I cannot think of this. I have to do what the Lord says. And I said that all the way to the waters. And I said that all the way to my mother's. And I'm still saying it today. And I've avoided a lot of problems with that. Because I didn't even have to deal with that one. The Lord did. All I had to deal with was, I need to go to the waters. I need to change. I need to take time to teach my children. I need time to pray with my children. I have to take hold of my home. I have to make sure that the home is a place where it's going to be a refuge and not something that's going to become the same as the world. I need to make a distinction between the activities of my life and the church. And I need to be careful that I grow so that apostasy doesn't end up in the East Side Church of Christ. Because if that happens here, what's going to happen to me and to the people in Sudbury? And if you think that can't happen, I'm afraid it's already started. If you think that. And we need to be so careful. I'm going to stop there. But I want to give the invitation. I want to give the invitation to those who are here who are not a Christian. Today, if you will hear His voice, please come by. We'd love to help you. If you're scared of that, I got a trick for you. You can come. We'll talk about it. And if you've got sin in your life and you're afraid to death of telling anybody, you can't be in a better group than this. And if you deal with it today, the best way to get over it is when you burn your boat. And if you keep your back door open where you hope that it's going to be better tomorrow and you know it's not going to be better tomorrow, it's going to get worse, you're digging yourself a pit. Get out of that sin. Get out of that sin. And stop looking as if you're the only one who has sin. Because if it wasn't for sin, nobody would be here. And we need to look at that and understand that so that everybody's welcome to do it. Let's stand as we sing. And for those who want to come up.